Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Again tonight, we want to return to the book of James. We want to continue our study. We began last week. We want to pick up with verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5 tonight. So as you have God's Word open, join me as we read. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. May God add blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. When we think about verse 5 in particular, we have to see it in its perspective of the whole Scripture and of the whole book of James. We see the word wisdom. It is one of the most encouraging promises that God's Word gives to you and I tonight. Wisdom. When I hear the word wisdom, I think of Solomon, King Solomon. King Solomon asked God for wisdom, and he got it. God gave him wisdom. And God blessed him in his endeavors and in his work and what he done. He did not always follow God. He did not always live the way he was supposed to live. He did not end his reign of Israel and of Jerusalem in any particular fashion where God, you could say, may have been proud of him. But God answered his prayer and gave him wisdom. And God never took that away from him. Now, what does that say to you and I tonight? We have the liberty to come before God and ask for His wisdom. God says that He will impart His wisdom to you and I. But we need to realize, according to His Word, that wisdom is not something that's just given to us freely. It's not given to us without any effort upon our part. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. We have to put an effort into this. God lays it out there in a promise to you and I that we have access to His wisdom, but we have to do something. We have to ask for it. God is not just going to, as my daddy used to say, "Son, I can't tear off the top of your head and pour this in. You're going to have to pay attention and learn how to do this." That's what my daddy used to tell me when he would try to show this stubborn, tow-headed young'un something about life and about life in general. Well, God says He can't tear off or won't tear off our head and pour this in. If we want His wisdom, we have to come to Him and ask. We have to fall upon our face and pray, and it should be something that we desire. It should be something that we should want. When you and I are in some type of a trial or tribulation, which is what we talked about last week, and when we find ourselves in that trial and we find ourselves in that tribulation, God says to come to Him, to seek wisdom from Him. Why? God is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of all humanity, all living creatures, the sun, the wind, the sea, everything around us. Why would God want you and I, humble little you and I, to fall upon our face before Him and ask for His wisdom? He wants us to draw close to Him. God wants you and I to be close to Him. He wants you and I to come up to Him, and just as a small child will come up to you and walk up and hold them little hands up and look at you with those little eyes and that little face, and just so I can make the motion with his hands to get me, get me, get me. That's what God wants from you and I. Not that he's trying to belittle us. Not that he's trying to say that we're some type of infant child or something of that nature. No, God just wants that kind of relationship with us. A relationship where we trust him. A relationship where we know we can depend on him. It doesn't matter how difficult and how tough things get in life, we have got his wisdom to draw from. Well, what exactly is that wisdom? When you hear about the wisdom of God, what is it that comes to your mind? Three things tonight I want to share with you about God's wisdom. First of all, God's wisdom is knowledge. Now, you and I have knowledge. We don't really have the right kind of knowledge. Thanks to Adam and Eve and their escapades in the Garden of Eden, we have the knowledge of good and evil. That's our knowledge. And it is also a sin nature that we inherited out of that. But the knowledge of God is something entirely different. God has something called omniscience. It is all-knowing. Nothing has ever slipped through God's mind. Nothing. God has never said, oh, I remember this, or oh, this dawned on me, or oh, what about that? God has knowledge of everything. God knows the front from the back and the back from the front. Now, if our knowledge is the knowledge of good and evil that come from a sin nature, and God's knowledge is the knowledge of everything, and he never has to worry about forgetting anything, he never has to worry about falling short of anything, why would we not want God's knowledge? Why would we not want God to be involved in leading us and guiding us? Why would we not want God to be imparting his knowledge upon us? When we ask God for his wisdom in matters, we are asking God for his knowledge to be imparted into our lives, to be imparted into our hearts, so that we can make proper decisions based upon God's knowledge, not based upon our knowledge. Next, when we hear of God's wisdom, I see from God's word that there is perception there. Perception. When we see something, we see it in one direction. We have the perception of one take, of one vision, of one thought on something. We know we can see something through our eyes and we can see it and we know what we've saw, but we really don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know what's going on that has caused this situation. We don't know all of the details. We have just a little piece of information to work with. God, on the other hand, has the 360-degree view of everything. God looks down from heaven, and God knows the hearts and the lives of everyone involved in the situation. God knows the hearts and the lives of the individual that's being affected. God knows the hearts and the lives of everyone involved. He has the total perception and the total view of everything that is going on. Why would we not want God's perception in our life? When we pray and we ask God for his wisdom, we need to realize we're asking him for his perception. It is his perception that guides us in making the right decisions. Many times we will find his perception written out in his word. Many times we will find God's perception shown to us in the lives of other people. Many times we will hear it preached in messages. Many times we will find God's perception in a lot of things. God can show and share his wisdom many ways, in many aspects, and through many ideas and many thoughts, and through many people and different things. Reading of God's Word here in the book of James, we're seeing the wisdom of God. We're seeing it through his knowledge And we're seeing it through his perception as it is being shared to you and I as we go through it. But that's not all. There's one more. What about experience? When I read and when I think about wisdom and the wisdom of God, I think about his experience. Now, when I say that, oftentimes people say, wait a minute, preacher. How does God have experience? What kind of experience does God? God is the creator of everything. How does he experience any of this? What am I talking about when I say experience? Let's go back to the idea of the Trinity for just a moment. The idea of the Trinity is three is one and one in three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now when we're thinking about that, let's go to God the Son for just a minute. Jesus Christ. We're here at Christmas. We're thinking about the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Himself, who existed before any of us did. He existed when the world was created, and He will return and come back to set up His earthly kingdom here. But when Jesus came incarnate, when He was born in that manger as that little infant, and when He lived His 33 years here on earth, Jesus experience the same thing that you and I experience. God experienced life on a sinful earth among sinful people as a person in the flesh. That's what kind of experience God has. God made every bit of that, made that experience possible. God showed up. He walked among us. God showed up. He taught us. God showed up. He died for us. God showed up and He resurrected from the dead. God showed up and He went back to heaven. God now is there on His throne and Jesus His Son at His right hand making intercession for us. Folks, those kind of experiences that God has, He says in His Word that we have experienced nothing that He hasn't experienced Himself. He has been touched with our infirmities. That ought to be an encouragement. The wisdom of God is His knowledge, His perception, and His experience. And we can ask. We can ask. And that ought to mean something for us tonight. Because He gives to all men liberally. We ask for it and He just pours it out. We ask for it and He just makes it available. We ask for it and it's just there. And He upbraideth not. He doesn't hold anything back. But we have to ask. We can't just stay here, stand up and think that, well, God, it's me, and you owe it to me. God, it's me, and because it's me, you're going to have to provide me with your wisdom. Now, I don't know too many people tonight that are going to be that bold in standing up before God and say that, but their attitude and their outlook and their behavior toward God says a whole lot. God doesn't honor that. God honors people who are going to humbly fall before Him and come to Him. Verse 6 has one of them 180 degree words that I like to call them, but God's wisdom is in verse 5. God's promise of that wisdom is there. God's faithfulness of that wisdom is there. But when we ask, we have to ask in faith. That's not a condition, and that's not a curveball, and that's not something that God throwed in there to kind of throw us off course and mess with us a little bit. God wants us to ask in faith. He wants us to trust Him. Faith in Him. Do we really believe when we ask for God's wisdom that He will give it. Do we really believe His word? Do we really believe what we read in verse 5? Do we believe it enough to lay everything else aside and trust God to give us the answers, the wisdom, and the direction that we want and that we need to make the right decisions? That's faith. That's faith. Sadly, most of us have more faith in our automobiles to crank than we have in God to do what He said He would in His Word. Now, I didn't say that to stir up any emotions, but I said it to draw attention to where we might stand in our walk with God tonight. We can't have the wisdom of God unless we pursue it in faith. Because if you look past that word faith, you see nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Nothing changing. James goes on to give an illustration of the ocean. The waves of the ocean, they're coming in, crashing in and going out. Crashing in and going out. Some parts of that wave pick up speed and they come in ahead of the rest of it. Some slow down and lag back. Some of those waves never make it to shore. They just fizzle out before they get there. The wind moves the water in a lot of directions. God doesn't want us moving around. God doesn't want us changing and twisting and turning. God doesn't want us hot 1 minute and on fire for Him and cold the next, doubting that He's ever going to show up in our lives again. God wants us to be people of faith tonight. God wants us to be people that desire His wisdom. God wants us to be people that trust Him to know that He's going to be true in whatever He gives. God doesn't want us waffling around on Him and changing our mind and 1 minute we're on fire for God and the next minute, well, we just really don't know. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. When we start wavering, let's just be honest, we all waver. We all find those points and times in life when we find it hard to trust God. We all find those points and times in life when we find it difficult to come to God and ask Him for anything. We all have those days and those points and times in our life when we just rather take it and handle it ourselves and do it our way. James gives us something to think about here in verse 7. We shouldn't expect anything from God when we're like that. Not because God's moved away from us, but because we've moved away from Him. The next time, some advice that I have found by studying this, the next time that I start feeling like I've got this under control and I don't need God or I don't want God in it, I'm going to come back to verse 7. And I've made myself a promise. I'm going to look at verse 7 and I'm going to see how undeserving I am of what I've got and the reality of God's Word that I'm not going to get anything from God as long as my attitude is like this. James is saying, don't let your attitude get you in trouble with God. James is saying, don't let your attitude rob you of the wisdom that God wants to share with you. James says, let's get our attitudes right and let's get our hearts right. Now, verse 8 is a verse that we all love and we've all heard many times and many of us have used it. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what James is ending up with that whole thing about wisdom and faith. We can't have God's wisdom unless we're willing to ask God for it. And we can't ask God for it unless we're going to ask in faith. And if we're going to be waffling around with our faith and unsure about it, we can't expect anything from God, and that makes us a double-minded person. That makes us a person who wants to lean on our own understanding, on our own knowledge, that knowledge of good and evil, that knowledge that comes from a sin nature. We want to rely on that knowledge instead of on God's knowledge, and that makes us double-minded, and that makes us unstable. We've all been there. I know I have. I'm not too good to admit it tonight. I've been there. I've been that unstable person. And I'll bet if you're honest tonight with yourself between you and God, you'll find out and you'll be able to go back in time and find many opportunities where you were that unstable person too. But the good news is tonight we don't have to stay there. The good news is tonight we don't have to remain in that state and in that condition. We can always come back and we can fall upon our face and we can ask God to forgive us. And He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to bring us right back into His fold again. He's faithful and just to build up our faith and give us the faith that we need to come and seek His wisdom. And from that wisdom we can gain an understanding of His knowledge. We can gain His perception. We can gain the experiences that He had through Christ. And we can gain it all through His Word. We have that opportunity tonight. We have that opportunity to have the wisdom of God. The first thing we have to do is then figure out if we lack it. Do we lack that wisdom? If we lack that wisdom, all we have to do is ask. And ask in faith. And oh, what a blessing it is tonight to be able to do that.